God. Everything you need. He's our supply. More than enough. Exceedingly abundantly.
Something happened, I just don't want to say exactly, but it was above and beyond what I would have thought or expected, and I remember what she said, and it's just good to be led by the Spirit and to receive by the Spirit and see it happen, even if you don't see it at the time, you know He's working, and I just want to thank God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for a praise report and testimony. And thank you for being obedient to the word of the Lord. Amen. We never know when we share something, the word of the Lord, who it's for or what it's going to produce. But the scripture says His word does not come back void. But it is like seed that's planted. Amen. And our words are powerful. Our words are like seed, and they're sown into the ground. That's why that our, amen, amen. I hope them's in my red flowers. Yeah, right there. Amen. I love seed from others' gardens. Amen. Amen. Thankful for that. So I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord. The song says, even when I don't see it, you're working. How many can just attest to that? Even when I don't see it, Lord, you are working in the midst. You go before us. You go before us, and you make a way where there seems to be no way. And you set things in order, and you move in ways that we don't see. How many of you have had just God show up in miraculous ways, or just in visitations? You know, some people call them God winks. Just a moment when you know it's just a God encounter. You know, it's just a moment where you know God is with you, God is for you, and He's all about you. Amen. He's not mad at you, but He is mad about you. And you can take comfort in that today. And I just had a whole lot of things going over in my spirit today, some things that I want to share. And we have been doing the whole series on roots. Amen? Roots. Have any of you got anything out of our series on roots that we've been sharing on roots? It is in the times of, great winds, great storms, that we are thankful for strong roots, that our roots go down deep, and that they hold us in those times. And I was thinking about the scripture the other day that said, consider the lilies of the field. He said, consider how they grow. How does a lily grow? Just does? Anywhere? Straight? The scripture tells us they don't toil or spin. But Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Amen? That if he cares about the sparrow of the field, and as he cares about the lilies, how much more does he care about you? They don't toil, they don't spin, but there's not a king that has more splendor than them, right? And so I pondered on that scripture this week, and I wrote a statement that I heard a preacher say the other day. It says, believer does not define God by what he didn't do, but rejoices in what he did do. There are so many things we can be thankful for in our heart every day. How many know a heart of thanksgiving will change your direct trajectory and change your attitude? A heart of thanksgiving, a heart of thankfulness. And Isaiah 40, 28 through 30 through 41 is one of my favorite scriptures, probably one of my favorites because it was one of my mom's favorites. I can early on remember her quoting this statement and this scripture. And it's a real familiar one to us. It says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard?" It's Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 out of the NIV. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But," everyone say but. That is behold unfailing truth. B-U-T, but. "Behold unfailing truth. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint." How many are thankful that he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak? Yeah. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord, they that continually ponder, they that focus on the Lord, they that make time for the Lord. We said earlier about making room for the prophet, making room for the presence of the Lord. And you know, sometimes it gets difficult in our days and in our schedule. How much do we make room for the presence of the Lord to inundate our day? How much do we allow the presence of the Lord to fill our office or our classroom or our heart or our home, our car, whatever it is? Because I will tell you that David had a key, and he knew the power of worship. And I've said this many times, and I stand by this statement. The thing about David that was most powerful was not his slingshot. It was not his sword, although those are the things that David always gets credit for, right? If I said to you, what was David known for and what was he most powerful for, you would have said probably, what? He killed Goliath, right? How many know Goliath was just the beginning of what God had planned for David? He was one of many. And the thing that was most powerful about David was not his slingshot. It was not the sword of Goliath. It was his harp. Right? It was his pen of a ready writer. It was the ability to take the promises of God and put them in a psalm that you still read today and put them down and put them to music so that for centuries and decades and years to come, people would find comfort and encouragement in a scripture like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, Lord, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We think about David in the form of the giant killer, the little boy who killed giants. But how many know his psalms probably have slain more dragons and slayed more giants than his slingshot ever did? Because David knew the power of worship. He knew the power of the scripture. He knew the power of the shepherd, and he knew the power of the lamb. Come on, somebody. We will never understand the lamb unless you understand it through the lens of a shepherd. And then when God wanted to anoint somebody who would be king, he wasn't looking for the strongest, the wisest, and the biggest. He was looking for somebody who had a heart for sheep, who knew how to lead them through the desert and in unsafe waters, and how to prepare pastures for them when there seemed like there was nothing there. That's what's powerful about David. That he would write things that would say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress. He's my God. In him will I trust. Those are the Psalms. Those were the things that David used as weapons. I mean, no, this is the song. This is how I fight my battles. My worship is a weapon. Not so much against a defeated devil, but against every thought that we need to take captive to the presence of the Lord and understand where we are seated with him in heavenly places. The scripture says, he anoints my head with oil. And I love probably that part out of there the most, that when he begins to anoint your head with oil, that says to me everything that has to filter through my ears, filter through my eyes, or pass through my mouth must first have to pass through the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit that flows from the head. And if you ever get the anointing in your head, you'll get it down to your shoulders, and then you'll get it down to your hips, and then you'll get it all the way down to your feet, because anointing is just that powerful. Hallelujah. He anoints my thinking so that every thought that comes into my head of despair, that God has healing balm, an ointment. How many of you in here ever used Porter salve? We call it Pink King salve. I don't know why. Anybody ever call it Pink King salve?
It's because it was actually called the Pink King salve.
There's why. See, if you ask, you find out. She said because it was called the Pink King salve, but as kids, we called it Pink King salve. Right? For the same, huh? Because we speak banjo, she said. Same reason we called growing up when my mom would make hop toad gravy. Anybody ever ate hop toad gravy? We didn't either. We ate hot dog gravy. But for some reason, it came out hop toad gravy. And when I was a little girl, I went to church. And we sang, down at the cross was the blood of Clyde. I remember standing on the pews at Hennis Fox's church singing my heart out about the blood of Clyde and wondering who Clyde was. And then I realized it was down at the cross was the blood applied. Man, did I get a whole different revelation of what I was singing when I got the right words. But how many know the work? God enjoyed my worship just as much when I sang it about Clyde as he did when I sang it about him, because I sung it at a heart of worship. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so we understand that the soothing and the comfort, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Pastor, is not just something we move in and out of, but it's a healing balm. And when I think about he anoints my head with oil, I think about Pink King salve, and I think about Porter's salve, and there's not a whole lot of stuff that won't cure. Yeah. We put it on everything as kids. My dad had a cure for everything. It was either Vaseline, sulfur, Vicks salve, or Pink King salve. If that didn't heal it, after he prayed over it, you probably weren't getting healed, right? But I think about the power in that. Do you know one of the main ingredients in Porter salve? Myrrh. Myrrh. I mean, before Esther ever went into the king, she bathed herself with myrrh. So that when she went into the presence of the king, she knew she had power and she knew she had presence, and she had anointed herself with the very giftings and anointings of frankincense and myrrh. And she went into the king to make herself presentable to him. But can I tell you this morning that you can walk into his presence already anointed, already filled, and already accepted. He said to the queen, he said, if you just ask for it, I give you half of my kingdom. You don't know the power that you have with me right now. Or you'd ask, and I'd give you to the half of my kingdom. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many know we dwell in his house? Not in this building, because this is just a structure. Yeah. It only becomes the house of the Lord because you're here. You are that. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are the house of the Lord. You're the very house. You house the presence of the Lord, so that when you operate and you minister to other people, you are ministering out of the resources of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And so David was a worshiper, and his harp was powerful. Because when Saul sent for someone, he said, I'm tormented in my mind. Send me a worshiper, someone who is skilled on the instruments. And the scripture said that when David started to play, come on somebody, when David started to play and when he started to minister out of the resource of an anointed head, and he got in the presence of Saul, he would begin to play and sing, and the evil spirits would have to go, and depression would have to flee, and grief and sorrow would have to go. Because he sang out of a presence and out of a realm of anointing. You know what happened to the children of Israel? Beth ministered not too long ago on the willow tree. And then she said, Jim, come and shared something about the willow tree. And what happened with the children of Israel when they were in Babylon? He said, there we sat down. And what did they do, Jim? They hung their harps on the willow tree. And he said, they required of us a song. And he said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You ever been there? How can I sing the Lord's song today? How can I sing the Lord's song in this mindset? How can I sing the Lord's song in this mind frame? And so we hang up our harp on the willow tree, and we forget that it was always God's decree to send out Judah first. Because when Judah went, Judah means praise. When praise goes before you, I mean, you know, sometimes it's time to get the harp down off the willow tree and start to strum the harp again and start to feel the anointing flow and say, God, only you can touch and heal from top to bottom. You can anoint my head with oil. Say, Lord, you got to anoint my head with oil today. I want to flow out of your anointing. I want to see what you see. I want to hear what you hear and what you're speaking. I want to speak what you are saying. That's what happens when our head is anointed with oil and causes our cup to run over. There was an old song, used to be, it was called, I'm drinking from the saucer. Anybody know it? Because my cup has overflowed. How many know if you got coffee in your saucer, that means your cup was overflowing, right? I mean, God promises he will give, and I will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. That the faithfulness of God, when we go back and look at circumstances and how God moved, and how God provides in our life, and we understand the faithfulness and the goodness of God. How many know sometimes you don't have the strength to sing? Sometimes you don't have the strength to play. That's why corporate gathering is important. Sometimes you just got to get in the splash zone. And the scripture says that he sings over us. That he sings over us. He's singing our love song. He's singing the goodness of God over us. Hallelujah. How many of you ever sing a lullaby to your babies? A lullaby to your babies. Why? Calms them, soothes them, gives them peace. You sing a lullaby because you want to go to sleep, right? That's really why we sing a lullaby. But what does the lullaby do? It calms, it gives them peace, soothes them. Why? Because you feel drawn in. You feel cradled. You feel comforted. You feel safe in the arms of the one who's singing over you. Amen. He sings over us. I just wanted to share a few thoughts this morning. Out of Matthew 5, 3 through 10 in the NIV. The title of my sermon this morning, I guess, if you want to call it a title or whatever, is I Will Not Leave You Comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. Out of Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 3, something I felt like the Lord just dropped in my spirit this morning as I was praying and just meditating on the things of the Lord. And the scripture begins out, "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And the thought that he dropped in my heart is the blessed are, or the blessing for those who mourn, is that they will experience the Comforter. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will experience the Comforter. In John chapter 14, Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said, "I will not leave you comfortless." Another translation says, "I will not leave you orphaned." And they were in a state of mind. They were in despair. Jesus was beginning to tell them what is about to take place, what was impending, what was coming. And he said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter to you. And he will be the Spirit of truth, and he will lead and guide you into all truth." He said, "I and my Father will come to you, and we'll take up our abode in you." So the blessings of a believer is that when we mourn, we know that we experience the blessings of the Comforter, the comforting of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but there have been moments in my life that I have shared with you guys and I have talked about that I literally felt like the Lord opened a vial and poured it on my head and I felt the presence of the Lord come down over me that strong. And one of those times was at a funeral, and I was, you know, praying and meditating on the power of the Lord, and I sat in the pew in the front of the church, and I'll never remember it, and I said, "Lord, I need you today." Just like that, I said, "Lord, I need you." And like that, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit as if he had taken a vial. I felt it go down over my head. I felt it to go down over my body. And I felt it wash over me to the point that I said, there it is. That's it. That's that comfort. That's that presence. That is that peace that can pass all understanding. It didn't mean that everything went away, but it meant that I felt Him with me. I felt the arms of the mercy seat. I felt the wings of Papa God. I felt the presence of Abba Father that says when you cry out Papa God, that He draws us to Himself and gives us breath again. Blessed are those who mourn. The blessing is for those that mourn, is in that they will experience the Comforter. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I wrote, blessed are those who are poor in spirit because they realize that they are members of a kingdom with endless resources. That we are part of a kingdom today of endless resources. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You can be meek and still be mighty. We know our girl Mana was meek, but she was mighty. You can be weary, but not weak. And we know Martha got comforted about with much serving. She was weary, but she wasn't weak. There are times in our life that we might become weary, but that doesn't mean we are weak. This song, Isaiah said, you can run and not grow weary. You can walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who are meek because you have a great inheritance. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I love that. But how many know there's a difference between appetizers and a full course meal? Yeah. Appetizers aren't meant to fill you up. See, you can come to church and get a taste of what God is. You can sample the platter, or you can hunger and thirst after His righteousness and understand that you can be filled with all that He is this morning. Hallelujah. When we hunger and thirst and have a passion for who He is, they will be full and satisfied. Blessed are the merciful because they understand they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful because they understand the mercy seat. I mean, we know that there is a blood-sprinkled mercy seat for us. Yeah. That we don't pass without hope. That we know that the blood of Jesus gives us access to all that He is. Whether on this side of the veil or that side of the veil, that there is life, abundant life through Him. Hallelujah. That when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, fully satisfied, merciful, for we have understanding of the mercy seat. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Their eyes behold the splendor of who He is. Pureness in heart gives you the opportunity to see God for who He is without motive, just to see God for who He is. The splendor. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Or I said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they operate out of a place of peace. And trust. I mean, it's a blessing to understand the kingdom of heaven, that we're part of something bigger than just this arena, that we're bigger than something than just this temporal place. But all that God has for us, His destiny and His purpose. Hallelujah. He said, I will not leave you comfortless in John chapter 14. He said, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter. Everybody say the Comforter. Which is the Holy Ghost. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. How many know that's the importance of the Holy Ghost and operating out of a place of the Holy Ghost in your life? The Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost. See, I believe we can have an indwelling Holy Ghost. I can believe we can be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. I believe we can be in connection with people who have the Holy Ghost. I mean, the scripture said that when Elizabeth was in her sixth month, that Mary came with a salutation. And when she did, there was something so powerful that was already working in Mary that when she connected with Elizabeth, something happened inside them that Elizabeth said, you made my baby leap in my womb. And John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Come on, somebody. How many can say God's had his hand on me from day one? And anointed me and chose me and called me to be a prophet to the nations. And the nations don't have to be across the sea. Sometimes it can be in your own neighborhood where God will call you to have something that's leaping inside of your belly that will cause somebody else's baby to leap. That when we come together, there's exhortation and power and flow of the anointing that causes something inside of you to come alive that maybe wasn't alive when you walked in. See, Elizabeth didn't know for sure, I don't believe, Jim, to that point. She said she hid herself for 5 months because nobody's going to believe that an old woman like me is going to have a baby. Yeah. And they didn't have an ultrasound and a blood test and all those things back then. But Pastor, when I feel my baby leap inside of me, you can't talk me out of my pregnancy now, because now I know that God has imparted and planted something inside of me that is eternal. It's Holy Ghost inspired, it's Holy Ghost filled, and it's about to change the course of history, and it's about to make its voice heard in the wilderness. That I believe God will send a prophetic voice in the wilderness crying, I mean, John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make way, get ready for the presence of the Lord to come. And he began to cry out, a voice in the wilderness, because there's something about the anointing. There's something about the Holy Ghost that when it gets down in your belly, it can't help but leap. And there's sometimes I got to remind myself, Lisa, operate out of the place of the Holy Spirit. And not out of a place of your head or your emotion. Am I in the house by myself today? I say this all the time too. Sometimes I say, Lord, you got to talk louder than my hormones today. Yeah. And you guys have hormones too, so don't you laugh. I mean, there's some times when we let our flesh and our own weaknesses talk louder than the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of us. But when he begins to stand up like he did on the temple and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are set free those who are in bondage, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I mean, Jesus stood, he said, I come to bind up the brokenhearted. I come to heal those who are bruised, those who have been wounded, to set at liberty. Hallelujah. And you'd think revival would break out all over the place. Because he said, today, this is fulfilled in your ears. Hallelujah, right? Holy Ghost revival. No, they want to take him to the brow of the hill and stone him. But I want to tell you, if you ever let God stand up in the middle of you, and if he ever begins to proclaim his liberty, his peace, and his healing inside of you to set free, to set at liberty those who are broken and bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of God's vengeance, the year of God's settling accounts, but to preach the year of God's acceptance, the acceptable year of the Lord. How many of you have been accepted in the Beloved this morning? Hallelujah. There is a place that we can operate out of. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. It's the power of the Holy Ghost to bring all things into remembrance of what I have said to you. How many know it's hard to bring it to your memory if you never encountered it? I will bring to your remembrance what all things I have said to you. What? In church? In a worship song? Through the word? Through a friend? Whatever it is. How many know God will quicken that word and cause it to come alive in you and say, wait a minute, I remember the word of the Lord over me. I remember what the word says. I remember what the scripture says. And he caused it to be a quicken. He said it's a quicken. It's alive. It's alive. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Mourning and grief, sorrow, despair, depression will either take you to the Comforter or it'll take you to a place of unbelief. And we choose which way we want to go. I choose the Comforter every time. I choose the Comforter every time. Hope is the joyful expectation of something good. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Scripture says he gave them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of the Lord. Hallelujah, and that he might be glorified. His words. Hallelujah. The oil of joy for mourning. Thank you, Father, today, that you pour in the oil of joy. Lord, that you anoint our heads with oil. Lord, that you would cause our cup to run over, to spill out, to be a splash zone for those around us and those we encounter. Lord, we trust you today. We trust you, Lord, in the days ahead. We're thankful for your peace, Lord. We're thankful for your hope. We're thankful for your anointing. Hallelujah. We lift our loved ones up today, God. We strengthen weak hands and feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, fear not, be strong, for behold, your God will come. Hallelujah. We thank you today, Lord, for every heart that's heavy, every heart that's rejoicing, for everyone that's broken, and for everyone that's whole, God. And we thank you for peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.